Karem Hassan, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. Thank you for having me.
Now, this is quite a story. Louis Langlais was supposed to conduct this week at the TSO and couldn't. When did you get the call to come and take over?
So I got a phone call on Saturday evening and arrived in Toronto Sunday afternoon for the first rehearsal on Monday morning.
Oh my gosh. Now, the program was the Szymanowski Violin Concerto, Eroica Symphony, and the Debussy Prelude to the Afternoon of a Faun. Were all of these pieces already in your repertoire, or did you have to speed study?
I did have to speed study. Two out of the three were in my repertoire. Fortunately, Eroica is a piece that I'm very much in love with and have done a couple of times. I've also done the Debussy before. However, the Szymanowski is just one of those pieces that does not come around very often, and got the score for that about a day and a half before the first rehearsal with the orchestra. So there was a lot of speed studying involved.
No kidding. I wanted to actually ask you, this is a bit on a different topic, just because you are a young conductor, it's relatively new. You're still studying, I understand, or have just finished formal studies. And, a lot of people, they find the role of the conductor quite mysterious. But what I find even more mysterious is, how do you learn conducting?
Yeah. I think, conducting is one of those things which is not just about mastering a technique. It's also about you as a person. It's also about communicating. You have to work with 80 to 100 people. You have to be able to read the atmosphere in a room. You have to tell when you need to take a break or when you need to insist on something. So there's a lot of human dynamics involved, a lot of psychology involved, just as well as how much of an interpretation you've developed of a piece. So there's many, many different factors to conducting. But to answer your question, of course, you need to have a technique. You need to learn the basics. But fortunately for us conductors, it's not that hard. Essentially, we do wave our arms around, and there are several patterns that we follow, and you can learn those pretty quickly. Of course, it gets much more complicated when you kind of build upon that. But essentially, you start as you would any instrument, and then things get complicated over a period of time.
Well, I imagine they get complicated quite quickly. When you're studying conducting, as an instrumentalist, and I'm sure you do too, because you play piano as well. I mean, there are certain, key courses that you take, theory and this and that and the other thing. But when it comes to conducting, like all of that, the psychological aspects, for example, you talk to, I mean, what is involved in a course of conducting? Has that been sorted out, or does every new conductor really have to find their own way?
My education as a conductor came from simply standing in front of orchestras and making lots and lots of mistakes. I found out about conducting and about how to work with other people by making mistakes. And when I was an undergraduate student at the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland, that was in Glasgow, I had just started conducting at the age of 18, and it was all very fresh and everything was very new. When I started my master's at the Zurich University of the Arts in Switzerland, we were very fortunate there to have a weekly ensemble to work with, a simple string quartet and a wind quartet. And with that, you can really try out in a safe space, a kind of laboratory, if you will. To try out different things, to try out different rehearsal techniques, to make mistakes in a very safe environment. Of course, nothing really prepares you for standing in front of a professional orchestra, but I think that there is a lot that you can do to help yourself prepare in the right way.
Such as
knowing the scores. That would be rule number one for any conductor. And it's not just about knowing exactly how it goes, or even for that matter, knowing exactly what sound you want or how you want it to go. But it's also knowing about how to communicate that with the orchestra, how to ask for something in a way that will get the best out of the musicians. And that, I believe, that comes with experience. That is not something that can be learned in a semester.
Right. Now, by all accounts, your run with the TSO has been a huge success, and congratulations on that.
Thank you.
There was a really nice review in the Toronto Star about your Eroica Symphony, basically saying that it took all the cobwebs off and it was incredibly fresh. And it's true that it is a challenge to do that with such a, for lack of better words, a war horse of the symphony, symphonic repertoire. In the case of the Beethoven, you say, you have a strong love for that piece. What have you aimed to bring out in that piece that maybe you hadn't been hearing lately that made it so fresh?
I think with Beethoven's symphonies, and certainly not just with the third that we performed, but with all of them, there is a preconceived idea that most musicians will have about the performance and the performance style of a Beethoven symphony. And I think my job as a conductor is to try and bring together what I believe to be the most important aspects and what I believe to be able to bring out the most important aspects of his music. In the case of Eroica, the sheer freshness, the sheer surprise is for me translated not only by the harmony, but by, let's say, even at the very beginning, the percussiveness of the chords and the extreme dynamic ranges that Beethoven has within the first 5-6 measures of the work. And so already there, to be able to start probing these ideas and to start trying to convince the orchestras to go beyond their level of comfort, maybe in terms of an articulation, maybe in terms of how quiet they might play, or vice versa, is really something that I try to push throughout the rehearsal process.
Interesting. It's true, because at the time, Beethoven's pieces would have been so uncomfortable and so unfamiliar for the players. So that
Absolutely.
Would be something to recreate that, not just for the audience, but for the players themselves.
Yes, no, absolutely. And another difficulty, especially with, let's take Eroica as the example here, is that it's simply performed a lot. Every orchestral musician, every professional orchestral musician will have played this a dozen times. And in some ways, I turn up and what can I offer the orchestra that they haven't already played or that they haven't already thought about? And in some ways, I'm not there to try and change their concept of Beethoven. I'm there to try and find what I believe to be the most important aspects of his music, which, as I already discussed, are these extremities in dynamic and articulation and the overall structure and the, in some ways, in the first movement, the sheer breathlessness of his ideas. They arrive so quickly one after the other.
Now, you have landed your first music directorship. That's starting next season. Can
yes.
you tell us about that?
Yes. So from the beginning of the 1920 season, I will become the chief conductor of the Tiroler Symphony Orchestra. That's in Innsbruck in Austria. And I'm really, really looking forward to it.
What is ahead for you? This is a very big thing to take up that kind of a role with an orchestra. So how are you planning for that?
It is. I mean, of course, at the very beginning, the biggest discussion is always about repertoire. What are you going to program? What is interesting, not just for me, but what is interesting for the orchestra? Which soloists do we want to invite? Who do we want to work with? What kind of programs would interest the audience in Austria? So there's been a lot of discussion about that, and we have come to some pretty exciting programs, and I think that it should be a very, very fun and exciting season with a lot of varied repertoire.
Now, I have to ask you, because you're at the beginning of your career, you're just 27 at this point?
Yes.
Yeah? I shouldn't say just, but you are 27 at this point. Who are your role models in the world of conducting?
So I've been very fortunate to be a regular assistant for the great Bernard Haitink. And he's been a huge supporter of mine for several years now. And every time I have the opportunity to assist him, I've always jumped at it, because watching and observing somebody like Bernard Haitink is a conducting lesson in unto itself. So to be honest, I would really say that Haitink has been the greatest inspiration for me as a conductor in my formative years.
Well, we look forward to watching your career unfold. I'm sure this will not be your last visit to Toronto.
Oh, thank you. I would love to be back.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.